Praise God. I want us to go to the book of Galatians chapter 4, and I want to start with verse 1 tonight. Praise God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Very powerful words here tonight. And as I said, I want to minister to someone here. If it ministers to more than one, I'll be happy. Praise God. But the only way we can receive the Word of God is through faith. And I don't feel a whole lot of faith here tonight. I know that there are some that has faith. But I'm telling you what, if we come to the house of God casually, we're not going to receive anything from the Lord. Well, praise God. Praise God. Is there anybody that has faith tonight? I believe God. I believe God. Father, lay your hand upon the Word of God tonight. Touch us with your holy presence. Lay your hand upon this service and the Word of God tonight. Let it lift someone up into a higher place. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. I want to just talk about your position with God and where we are with the Lord. For you see, it's very important that each of us understand where we stand with God, where we are with God. There's so many forces and influences in our world, to adults and to young people, to children. There are so many forces that will try to move us away from Jesus Christ. The world is not cannot coexist and cohabitate with the church because we're on a different plane. We're on a different level than the world is. Somebody said amen. Amen. And there are many voices and there are many temptations which will try to move you from where you are to another place that is not really the will of God. And the only way, the scripture talks about the anchor of the soul, the only way that we can really have an anchor of our soul, an anchor to hold on to, is to know where we stand and to know who we are and to stand in who we are. Praise God. We've got lots of problems in our world today. And it's because we have a generation that does not know who they are. They don't know what they are. Amen. And they're trying to change what God made them into something that was never intended by God. I don't think that there has ever, well, I'm sure that there has never been a time in history when if a boy feels like he's a girl, there is a surgical procedure. I've never heard of anything in the history of man. It didn't happen that way in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God destroyed them. I'm afraid tonight that America is under the judgment of God. I'm afraid. I'm not trying to be negative here tonight, and I'm not going to be negative. But the Apostle Paul wrote here to the church in Galatia, because they were slipping from the foundation of faith that established them in the beginning, not just the foundation of faith, but the foundation of the faith, amen, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. He gives it to us here in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 through 9. If you'll turn with me tonight, I want to just take my time and lay a foundation for someone here tonight. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, thank God for the gospel. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Pretty straightforward there. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Amen. And, you know, when you start something out, I suppose when you start a letter to someone, Paul had this way. He could build you up, and then he could just lower the boom and tell you exactly where you were. But if you look at the first five verses there in the book of Galatians, you'll see that he pronounces grace over them and prays for the grace of God upon them and talking about very positive things. And then verse 6, he just launches in and says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the Lord. Amen. We cannot preach another gospel and have God close to us. The gospel and the Lord are connected together. And this was Paul's ministry. It was his way of ministering. He would just get right to the point so that there was no way that anyone could misunderstand what he was trying to say. But the apostle, the great apostle Paul, wrote these letters out of a heart of love because he wanted these people to have everything that God had for them. And I pray tonight that for each and every one of us here, that God will give you and that you will receive everything that God has for you. You may be going through a difficult time at this moment, and I felt before the service tonight that I would be preaching to the young people, but I feel like that it's for everyone. I'm not sure that everyone will catch the vision here tonight. I pray that I will catch the vision tonight, that the Word of God is powerful, it is quick, it is for each and every one of us. Praise God. And so when we look at his declaration here in Galatians chapter 1, we can just see how far they had gone. We could see how far away they had moved from the original foundation, and they were worshiping another. Isn't that a frightful thing that we could actually get to the place where we are worshiping and preaching something that God had not even talked about? This church in Galatia was probably written somewhere around 70 AD, probably before the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem. And there was an awful lot that was coming in their future. There was an awful lot that was going to happen to their nation. And the apostle reached out to them with a heart of love to try to turn them in the right direction. Amen. They were worshiping another, but I asked the question tonight, how could they do that? How could anyone do that? And even though I asked the question tonight, I recognize and realize that I have seen it many, many times in my life in living for God. Those that we thought were strong, those that were strong in the Word of God and could preach the Word of God like an angel are no longer with us anymore. and are believing something totally, completely different than what the apostles preached. Folks, we've got to know where we stand tonight. Praise the Lord. We've got to know where we stand. And one way is to forget where they came from, and another way is to forget where they are. Amen. Where they stand. And I want to talk tonight about your position in God. Where are you tonight? I'm not talking about where you are in your feelings. I'm not talking tonight about where you are in circumstances in your life, but I want to talk about where we are spiritually with God and what God wants and can do in each and every one of us. Amen. Just where are we tonight in this great salvation? And where do we stand? What kind of authority do we have? Am I a victorious Christian or am I defeated tonight? Am I poor or am I rich? Am I a son of God? Am I a daughter of God? Or am I a servant of God? These are very relevant questions for each and every one of us. And I suppose that this applies and should apply mostly to the young people that are growing up and they're learning and they're reaching for their place in this world. It can become a very frustrating thing. It can be something that you look at and say, how in the world am I ever going to become anything in God? I'll tell you what, tonight you can become something in God because of the position in which you stand. Somebody said amen. Amen. So Paul opens it up with that, and then let's go to Galatians chapter 4, and I want to go back over the text scripture here tonight. Galatians chapter 4, and verse 1, he says, now I say that the heir, this would be the heir of the Father, you know what an heir is. It's someone that's going to inherit the great things that the Father has laid up in store. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, everybody said a child, a child. Now I'm going to define this a little bit here tonight, and hopefully, I mean, there's a lot of different avenues that I could go with this. I want to try to keep it focused here tonight and not get off onto a tangent, but he said, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, until the time appointed of the Father. Young people, listen to the pastor tonight. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Oh, there's a couple of things that we could look at here tonight. But Paul was actually making reference here to a custom in his day. And that was that a child that was an heir into the family was to be that heir eventually. But when that child was born, he did not have the full inheritance. He had a promise. He had a promise to be the Lord over all of the inheritance, and yet he was not. A child that was born into the family was supposed to be the family inheritance, or gain it rather, but as he grew, he became subject to tutors and governors that made him obey. He was subject unto teachers, subject unto many different things that would come along. And the time would come, the appointed time would come, when there would be a celebration. And in that celebration, they would declare, this is my beloved son. And when that was spoken over this child, the inheritance would become his. And not only would the inheritance be locked in, if you please, The name of the child would be synonymous with the name of the Father. Praise God. Now, if you look at this here tonight, Paul refers to us in the world before we came to God. And he said, when we were in the world and without God, we were in a tutorship, if you please, to the world, to the ways of sin. And oh, God, help us here tonight. I thank God that he delivered me from this world of sin. Maybe you had angel wings your whole life, but I don't think so. We had to learn the ways of righteousness. We had to learn the way of truth. We had to learn as we were in bondage, as it were, to the tutors of this world. And we were literally in bondage to sin. Sin would try to teach you and will try to teach you. And sin has its logical ways of thinking. And I suppose if there's anyone that is more susceptible to the logic of this world, it would be the young people. Because they're reaching and they're grabbing and they're trying to figure out where the line really is and what is right and what am I going to do with my life. And I want to talk about that just a little bit because all of the young people that are here tonight, I'm sure you're old enough that the time will come or maybe has already presented itself where you feel like you're under bondage. Amen. I got to take out the trash. I've got to do this. I've got to clean my room. I've got these rules. I've got to go and do my study. I've got to help mow the grass. I've got to help do the dishes. And Lord, help us. It's not the same as it used to be. Praise God. That simply means helping to load up the dishwasher. Well, praise God. And it's a time of testing. It is a time where the rules are laid down, and they may not make a whole lot of sense right now, but there is someone older than you that has been down the road before you that is trying to instruct. And I'm not talking tonight about ungodly parents that don't know the Lord and don't have any inkling of what's really going on. I'm talking about your godly parents. Amen. And if it's not a godly parent, but they're asking you to do reasonable things, it is a time of testing. It's a time of learning. And I'm going to get into that here just a little bit. But the world became our father, and the world became our inheritance. Some of you can't relate to this, but some of us can relate to this tonight. Amen. That the world became our inheritance, and the inheritance that we inherited in this world was sin and death. Amen. That was our inheritance. It was an inheritance of death. And I'm so thankful tonight. Anybody else thankful tonight? Just thankful that God put it in my heart to rebel against this world and to rebel against the way that is not right and come to God and leave the world behind. I'm glad I left the world behind. But as a son, I'm talking just generically here, this would be a son or a daughter. As a son, we've got to go through a time of tutoring and a time of submission. Amen. And Jesus, of course, in everything is our great example. And if you'll turn with me tonight to Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Everybody said increased. He increased. And Oh my, that means that Jesus didn't start out as the full heir of his Father's kingdom. He had to grow. He had to learn. He had to apply himself. He had to go through some things to increase in wisdom. And he grew as we grow. And this it really proves and establishes the humanity of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ was a second God of a Holy Trinity, then he would be all-knowing, but the Bible says he increased in wisdom. There were some things that he didn't understand. Amen. He didn't know how to talk properly. And little kids, they have their funny little ways of saying things. And I remember some of your children that when they began to learn how to talk, they would just babble on. And you know they were saying something, but you couldn't understand a word that they were saying. Anybody realize that tonight? Remember that? Amen. He had to learn how to read. He had to learn how to speak. He had to learn how to write. He had to learn how to be submissive to Joseph and learn how to do carpentry work. He had his assignments. He had his chores. Probably was told to go out and pick up the trash out of the yard and learned how to respect the tools in the shop and to prepare for the next job. Luke chapter 2 and verse 42 gives us something here that's a little bit more specific. Luke chapter 2 and verse 42. And the Bible says, and when he was 12 years old, everybody said 12 years old. 12 years old. Do we have any 12-year-olds here tonight? We have one 12-year-old. That's easy pickings. Praise God. Stand up just for a minute, young 12-year-old. All right, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus looked like right here at this scripture. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child, and I know that Isaac would not want to be called a child, but the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph, his mother, knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He was learning. He was growing. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Jerusalem and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And look at this, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. That means he got taller. You're going to get taller, Isaac. Amen. You're going to get taller, Daniel. I don't know about Gavin and Garrett. Matthew, you're going to get taller, growing in stature. Amen. And in favor with God and men. You know, there are some things that we know about growth and growth in the human body. There are some things that 12-year-olds can do that 50-year-olds can't do. Amen. They can do some things that 30-year-olds can't do. China cheated on some of the Olympics, and they sent some 10-year-olds over to do gymnastics, and they discovered that they were 10 years old. They were not old enough to be in there. But they sent them over because the young ones have this, somehow they have this ability. I think it's a lack of understanding of sometimes how dangerous things really are, and they just launch into it, and they don't worry about it. They try to pick a snake up by the tail, and they get bit. Amen. They jump off the back of the pickup truck, or they slide down a rail on their little skateboard, and they do all kinds of things. Amen. I'm getting ready to be 65 in a few months, and I have never learned how to juggle. Amen. I don't have the coordination. I can't do it. I see some of these young people and their abilities and their talents. I just want to say tonight, and I can go a little bit further, some of you have the ability to memorize some things. Abigail's got such a memory to memorize Scripture and all of that. And there's just in the heart and the life and the body of a 12-year-old that they just want to break. They just want to break out of the mold. Amen. Amen. I'm a lot more mature than what people think. I can do it. I don't know why you're worrying about that, Mom or Dad. I don't know why you're concerned about me. I've got it together. I can figure it out. And Jesus wasn't there with a bad attitude. And I don't think that children have a bad attitude when they do that necessarily. It's just the age. Amen. Amen. It's the age in which they have this thing inside of them that brings them to a place of independence and a place where they want to do their thing of called life rather than having Mom and Dad do it for them. Praise God. Amen. I don't have any amens on the front row tonight, but that's all right. And Jesus, the Bible says, he was subject. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He actually got to the place where he was a rabbi, a place where he was a master, a place where he had learned the Scriptures. He had studied the Scriptures and got to a place where he could begin an earthly ministry and fulfill his will, fulfill his Father's will. And think about it. This was when he was 12 years old, and it wasn't until he was about 30 years of age that he began his ministry, and there was a laying upon his shoulders the sonship or the heiress, the place of where he would have the inheritance of his father. 18 years. How many of you here on the front row and second row would like to wait 18 years before you can actually get started? That's a long time. That's a long time. But Jesus waited another 18 years. Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. Turn there with me tonight. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Praise God! It wasn't until he was 30 years old that there was a celebration, if you please, and the pronouncement, This is my beloved Son. He is the heir. He has the heirship of all things. that pertain unto God. Praise the Lord. In essence, what he was saying is, you are now my son. He was always his son. He was always going to be the ruler over all things. Amen. But he had not gotten to a place of proving himself. He had not gotten to the place of going through the tutorship and the governors and the leaders in his life to teach him. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we need to know where we are as well. Amen. Praise God. And here we stand tonight. And you say, well, Pastor, what's this got to do with me? And I'll tell you what it has to do with us. Every one of us, we're in bondage to sin. We could have the plan of sin placed upon our lives. We were under tutors of sin. But the Bible says that at the appointed time, praise God. And I believe tonight in the appointed time of repentance, that we have the opportunity to repent before God and to give our lives to God. And the time frame is different for each and every one. We say that a 12-year-old understands right and wrong. I'm not so sure about that with every 12-year-old, but I'm telling you tonight, there comes a time when we can look at sin and look at righteousness and make our choice. Amen. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise. Amen. And maybe your parents taught you to sin. Maybe it was a friend at school. Maybe it was a teacher. But it was a talent, if you please, that came naturally to us. I really got to thinking about this after our Bible study on Tuesday, that we were created in the image of God. Now listen to me tonight, young people. We were created in the image of God. Amen. I taught on that here just the other night, that we were made in the image of God. And as such, every one of us have some sort of godly trait about us. Praise the Lord. We have a godly ability about us, whether we're a Christian or not, whether we are saved or not. God has put things inside of each and every one of us. But it's what we do with what God has given to us that's going to make the difference. Amen. As a young man, Einstein was given the ability to be a tremendous thinker. There are others that have tremendous abilities in study, in writing, and so many, many different aspects that we have talents and abilities to do. But what are we doing with what we have? Are we applying ourselves? Oh, it's easy to have talent when you're young, but I'm telling you, there's one thing about having talent, and then there's another thing about excelling and going beyond and improving the talent that you have. Come on, somebody. Improving the talent that you have. Amen. It's not the will of God that we spend our entire time playing video games. Mindless things that produce nothing. Every one of these young people that are here tonight have a talent that has been given to you by God. Don't ever take that talent and say, well, I have arrived, because I'm telling you tonight, you have not arrived. There are those of us that are elderly, and we don't feel like we have arrived. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, what you have to do is take the talent that God has given to you naturally, amen, and develop that talent and do something for God with your talents. Well, praise God. And so, as we wandered through this old world of ours, we heard a distant voice. Amen. I don't know how you heard the voice of the truth of the Word of God. Maybe it was in a Bible study. For me, it was walking into a Pentecostal church, not knowing God and not even feeling the presence of God, but seeing the worship and the praise and saying to myself, I've got to get out of here. I've come into a place of crazy people. And I got out of there and I said, I'll never go back, but I've learned never to say never. Amen. Because a year later, I found myself desiring to go back. It was the call of God to my baptism. It was the call of God to my time of repentance. It was the call of God to be baptized in His name and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful tonight for God's salvation. Amen. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this to the church in Galatia, he was well aware of this, because one day he was traveling on the road to Damascus and a light shone from heaven. He was in darkness when he thought he was in the light. He was just a young lad spiritually. He was a 12-year-old spiritual man, if you please, and he needed to get some learning and training to do the will of God. But the day came, amen, when he stepped out into his ministry and did the will of God. And what he did was awesome. Praise God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Amen. He wanted the Galatian church to know where they stood. I'm trying to help us tonight to understand where we are and where we stand. Ephesians 6 and 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Where are we going to stand? What are we standing on? What is the truth and the rock that we are standing on? I want you to know tonight, it is the truth and it is the rock that I am a son of God. Because when He baptized us with the Holy Ghost, I became a son of God. You can just put it in the bank tonight. Paul was saying that when you received God, when you were born again of the water and of the Spirit, you became a begotten son of God, not physically like Jesus, but we were begotten by the word of truth and by the gospel. Praise God. I'm a son of God tonight. You're a son of God tonight. And a joint heir with Jesus. Praise God. We're in a high place. I said we're in a high place here tonight. And it was the fullness of time. You know, young ones think that they've got it all figured out. But the truth of it is, even when we were in the world, we thought we had it all figured out. Amen. And we thought that it was our strength and our ability and our decision to come to the church and to hear a message or to take a Bible study or whatever it was. But it wasn't my decision. It was the call of God. Amen. And the Spirit began to draw. And I had the opportunity. The fullness of time had come. Amen. And God was wanting me to say, Abba, Father. Praise God. Let's look at a couple of scriptures before I finish tonight. John chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12. And then I want to turn to 1 John. Praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God's good to us here. God's been faithful. I look out tonight and I see that God's been faithful to you. John chapter 1 and verse 11. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become what? To become what? To become a preacher, to become a Sunday school teacher, to become a prayer warrior. Oh, those things fit in eventually. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Praise God. And so when Jesus was baptized and the proclamation was made that He was a full heir to the throne, praise God, He started His earthly ministry. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to finish with this scripture here tonight. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, if I can get there. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Somebody ought to just say, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Think about that tonight. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Don't expect the world to rejoice with you in your sonship, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God. The day is coming, child of God. The day is coming, young person, when you're going to have the opportunity to show us, amen, that you are a son of God, that you have come to the time of fruition where God will begin to use you. But there's somebody here tonight, I feel this strongly, why don't we stand together right now? There's somebody here tonight and you're going through a difficult thing, amen, and you don't know what the outcome of it's going to be, but I'm here to tell you, young person, that God is with you. You are a son of God, and you are a daughter of God, and God loves you, and God has a perfect plan for you. What you're going through right now is your tutorship. Amen. What you're going through right now, and can I say this for all of us here tonight? The trials and the troubles and the struggles of life are the tutors that are preparing us for the day that we will see him as he is. Amen. Praise God. And when I get to that day, I can say, praise God, I'm ready for eternity. Amen. But he hasn't taken me yet because I'm not ready yet. Right. It's not his time yet. But when the fullness of time comes, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. I thank you for these young people tonight. I thank you, Lord, for their commitment and dedication. I pray your hand of learning upon them. I pray your hand of revelation upon them. God, that as time goes on and the tutors and the governors and those that are in control of their life at this point, that they will see the blessing and see the progression that you have for them. In Jesus' name, open their eyes to see. Lord, open each of our eyes that we might see the will of God and the truth of God and the ways of God, and that we would know where we stand and who we are in every situation and every trial and tribulation. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord thanks together tonight?